Have your Bible with you. Please turn it open to 2 Timothy for our scripture reading this morning. We'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading together verses 13 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 13 through 17. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, Father, for just how powerful it is, for what we can learn and how it reveals us for who we are, Lord, but it shows us our need for you and just shows how you provide everything that we need. Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for our time this morning to sing songs to your name, Lord. I pray that it was glorifying to you. Lord, I just pray for our time together as we listen to Pastor Craig and the message that he will bring to us this morning. I just pray that, Lord, you would be already working in our hearts to receive that, Lord, so that where there are areas that we need instruction, areas that we need reproof, Lord, we would just be listening to your word. And you would be working in those areas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, John. Lauren, could I get you to mute the two guitars? We get a little buzz sometimes up here from that, and I don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me. So, the passage that John just read there really it talks greatly about this short series, or addresses really the series that we're going through for last week, this week, and Lord willing, two more weeks. But go ahead and stay there in 2 Timothy. We're going to refer to it one more time, but I want to read you another passage. And it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And it says there, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And of course, that is the passage that we began with last week. That was what I think Brad read last week. And it introduces really the purpose of this series that we're going through, and Lord willing, we'll go through for the next 2 weeks yet. But there are, in this world, strongholds, arguments that exalt themselves against the very knowledge of God, wise-sounding arguments that are designed by the devil and perpetuated by wise-sounding people to keep man from knowing God. Last week, we looked at God's existence. And we pull down one major argument that has exalted itself against that fact, the fact of God's existence. God is not only presumed, but he is directly and indirectly provable. Well, this week, we're going to talk about the Bible, God's Word. One objection that I have heard numerous times concerning God and his word is this. If there really is a God, why does he make it so difficult for man to know him? That is a concern that I have heard, okay? And I have asked this question of that question. I said, okay, so if you were the invisible God then, and you wanted your creation, your created beings, your people to know you, okay, and know about you, how would you do it? And here is the common answer. I would just reveal myself to them. And I say, well, what do you think the Bible is? And they say, no, you misunderstand. I would, if I were God, I would visually reveal myself to people, okay? And I say, well, what do you think Jesus is? And 1 John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus revealed God to man. And often the response to that is, no, why doesn't he show himself to me personally? Why won't he do that? Well, Jesus himself answered that question. In Luke 16:31, Jesus said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. And by implication, Jesus is saying, if they're not going to listen to what God has said, if they're not going to hear that, they aren't going to believe it even if he comes in person, demonstrates his power right before their very eyes. Jesus did, and many still don't. In fact, I have shared this quote with you before, but a few years ago in a documentary movie, Richard Dawkins, who is one of the most outspoken atheists, at least in the English-speaking community, all right, he was asked a question in this documentary, and the question was this: what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong, and after you die, you meet the Lord, what would you say to him? And he thought for a moment, he said, I would ask him why he went to such extremes to hide himself from me. Now, I'm going to argue this morning, as I did last week, that God has gone to great, tremendous extremes to reveal himself to man, okay? To anyone who will simply accept the evidence that he's provided. In fact, it's not a matter of physically seeing God. We talked about this a little bit last week. When I asked you, who here has ever met Abraham Lincoln? Nobody raised your hand, but you all believe he existed. All right? It's not a matter of physically seeing God. It's a matter of accepting the abundant evidence that he does give both in creation and his word. And Lord willing, next week, through Jesus Christ, we're going to see that. But this morning, we're going to look at the Bible. We're going to look at the Bible. The truth is, man does not want to believe. He does not want the Bible to be the Word of God because he does not want to be held accountable to it. And neither does the devil want man to believe. So strongholds designed by the devil and perpetuated by man have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. Now here are a few wise-sounding worldly arguments that are contrary to the Bible. All right, here's one. It's an old book, archaic. It can't be relevant in our modern world. Times have changed. Well, times have indeed changed, but the truth of the matter is, people haven't. People are the same today as they were thousands of years ago. They are very much the same. Here's another one. The Bible has changed. It has been passed through so many generations that what we have today is not the same as what was originally written. It sounds wise. Here's another one. Science proves the Bible to be inaccurate. Well, we're going to look at that one. We're actually going to look at all of these. Here's another one. There are contradictions in the Bible. And there may be seeming contradictions in the Bible, but if indeed we show the Bible to be the Word of God this morning, that would mean that any seeming contradiction that we find is a misunderstanding on not man's part, not God's. Here's another one. There are many religious books that claim to be from God. The Bible is just one of many. And then some argue, I just don't believe it's the Word of God. Well, this morning, so that the truth might be obeyed, so that you and I might be a little bit better armed to defend it, I want to pull down, demolish that stronghold, take captive those thoughts, and argue that God spoke. God spoke. God does want man to know Him. And through His word to man, He has given divine proof that clearly separates the Bible from every other book. And this morning, we're going to look at three areas in which the Bible proves to be, three areas that show the Bible to be the very Word of God. And the first area is this: divine revelation. Divine revelation. Divine revelation. And I'm going to give you a definition because in a biblical context, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what revelation is. But here it is. Divine revelation is God revealing to man things he could not have otherwise known. That's divine revelation. It is God revealing to man things he could not have otherwise known, at least at the time. All right? The Bible is God's revelation to man. It is the final authority on everything pertaining to God and man and faith and practice. Now, I'll just tell you, there are a lot of things that we could talk about this morning, all right, concerning divine revelation. But I want to limit what we talk about to those things that support that the Bible is. That's what we're looking at this morning. Because the arguments in the world is that it isn't, all right? We're going to look at the things that support that it is. And here's number one. The Bible claims to be the Word of God. It claims it. It claims to be divine revelation. Now, we've already mentioned that there are a lot of books that claim to be from God. And the biggest reason I even mention this as a support is because if it did not claim to be the Word of God, there would be no reason for this discussion. All right? So the fact that it does claim to be the Word of God is the very first support that it is. Over 800 times, the Bible both directly and indirectly claims to be the very voice of God. Thus says the Lord is a phrase that is found from cover to cover. The Bible claims to be the Word of God. Secondly, under divine revelation, is science supports it. Science supports that this is divine revelation. As I mentioned last week, it really bothers me when I hear people say, I don't believe in God, I believe in science, as if the two contradict one another. But the truth of the matter is God invented science, all right? That's God's domain. But allow me to show you how. Science supports it. Archaeology supports the Bible. For many, many years, there were scientists who refuted the Bible because it spoke of ancient people groups and nations that there was no record for. Okay? So as archaeologists dug through the Middle East, they found nothing, not even a clue that a nation that the Bible spoke of. They said, there, that proves it. The Bible is not true. It's wrong. Well, that was up until about the late 1800s. when an archaeologist used the Bible account to find a particular, there's just one case, the Hittite nation, okay? The Hittite nation is one of those that archaeologists, there's no evidence for it. There's no evidence. And it was the late 1800s that an archaeologist actually then used the Bible to try to determine where these people would have actually been. And lo and behold, there we have tons of remnants now of the Hittite civilization. That's just one. But archaeology supports the Bible. Geology supports the Bible. I want you to listen to this passage from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22 says that God sits above the circle of the earth. Isaiah wrote those words 500 years before Aristotle theorized that the earth might be round. Isaiah the prophet wrote, God sits above the circle of the earth. Geology supports it. Zoology supports the Bible as divine revelation. Job chapter 40 describes dinosaurs 4,000 years before modern man discovered the remnants of them. Job talks about and describes dinosaurs 4,000 years before modern man discovered them. Astronomy supports the Bible. Again, from Job chapter 26, God said, the earth hangs on nothing. That was 3,000 years before Galileo said it. Meteorology supports the Bible. Solomon, Ecclesiastes 1:7, describes the water cycle, that it rains on the mountains, water flows into streams and rivers to the ocean, where it evaporates into the air and rains again on the mountain. Okay? 2,000 years before science documented it. Biology supports the Bible. 2,000 years ago, Luke wrote in Acts 17, and he, God, made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. It was only in the past 200 years that it was discovered that it does not matter what race or nationality a person is, as we might put it, human blood is the same. Luke wrote that 2,000 years before. It's interchangeable. Oceanography supports the Bible. In Jonah 2:6, thousands of years before the floor of the sea was mapped, the Bible, God speaks about mountains and valleys under the sea. These are all things that God revealed to man before man was capable of knowing it. In fact, there have been many areas in which the science of the day disagreed with what the Bible said, but as science caught up, it found the Bible to be right all along. God said, He spoke the universe into existence. Scientists, and this is actually fairly recent, scientists have now come to the conclusion that the universe happened in an instant. In an instant. They call it the Big Bang. And I don't know, when God spoke, He may have had a booming voice. I don't know. We know it to be God, just like God said, in an instant. Science supports divine revelation. So concerning divine revelation, this is what we've seen thus far. The Bible claims it. Science supports it. And then thirdly, prophecy proves it. Oh, if we had a few hours this morning. There are hundreds of detailed prophecies that are recorded in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the New Testament. Hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years between them. Just to list one, and I'm going to list this for a reason because we're going to come back to it. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, predicted over 400 years earlier when Jesus would come to be our sacrifice. In fact, it was such a detailed prophecy that anyone that was looking at that prophecy, read it and studied it, could have actually been in Jerusalem on the day, perhaps on the day, expecting Messiah to enter. Again, there are hundreds, and if you want to get technical, there are thousands of prophecies that have been made by God and fulfilled just like he said they would be. In fact, God says that if you want to tell a false prophet from a prophet of God, one way is if they are ever wrong. Even just one time, God says if they are wrong just one time, they are not from God. It's because God knows. He knows. And by the way, up until about 60 years ago, skeptics who looked at Daniel's detailed prophecy concerning Messiah coming into Jerusalem said that Daniel, these were the skeptics, mind you, they said that Daniel had to most definitely be written after the time of Christ, because the prophecy, the timeline was so detailed and accurate. But then, as many of you know, in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were unearthed and dated from about 300 years before Christ. And guess what was in them? The book of Daniel with those prophecies. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for prophecy. Thank you, Lord, for science, even. Prophecy is a proof that the Bible is the Word of God. Divine revelation, the Bible claims it, science supports it, prophecy proves it, and Jesus justified it. While obviously the New Testament was not yet written until after Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus had nothing but complete belief and respect in the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus believed them to be the Word of God. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus quoted the Old Testament about the Word of God. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." There is not another book on the face of this planet that proves to be the Word of God like the Word of God does. All Scripture, this is from the passage that John read. If you're still in 2 Timothy, you can follow with me. But verse 16, 2 Timothy, I'm having you turn there. We're going to leave there in just a minute. But anyway, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." And that word inspiration actually means God breathed. God breathed. And it is profitable for teaching. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Divine revelation is God revealing to man things that he could not have otherwise known at the time. The second area that shows the Bible to be the Word of God is divine continuation. Divine continuation, and it's important that I define what I mean by that. Divine continuation doesn't mean that it continues today, okay? It means that the Bible is a continuous work. It has continuity, okay? Continuity. The continuity of the Bible is this divine continuation that I'm talking about. It agrees perfectly with itself from beginning to end, in spite of how it was penned. Have you ever played the game where a detailed story is whispered in the ear of one person, and then they whisper in the ear of the next person, and so on down the line. And the one at the end of the line now retells that story out loud, and it doesn't even resemble, right, what we began with. Almost no continuity whatsoever. Well, divine continuation speaks of the continuity of the Bible, and here is the miracle of it. Here is the miracle of it. The Bible has many writers. The Bible has many writers. These 66 books were penned by over 40 different authors, 40 different people. These were people from every walk of life, many who had nothing in common with one another except their God, kings and servants, priests and criminals, doctors and shepherds, scholars and farmers, prophets and peasants. If there was ever an opportunity for God to be seen in a variety of ways, it would be through these varying backgrounds and situations. Certainly a king with everything would see God and life differently from a servant or a peasant with nothing. The same with priests and criminals, doctors from shepherds, scholars from farmers, prophets from peasants. Yet they all describe God and the world from the exact same perspective. What's more is these people, these 40 writers, didn't even live during the same time period. These writings span over the course of 1,500 years, from oldest to youngest. Plus, they were written in three different languages from people who lived on three different continents. The Bible has many writers, and we're talking about the miracle of this divine continuation. The Bible has many writers, yet the Bible has one message. One message. All of these writers, from all of these periods of time, from all of these different walks of life, countries, continents, speaking different languages, they all talk about the same thing. All the Bible has the same best basic message. Here it is. Messiah. The Christ. The Old Testament speaks and prepares for his coming. The Gospels say he's here. The New Testament epistles and history books tell us he is coming again. He is coming again. How can so many writers with all of these differences have the exact same message? Well, the Bible has many writers. The Bible has one message, and that is because the Bible has one true author. One true author. It can only be God. I want you to turn for a minute to 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, closer to the back of your Bible from 2 Timothy there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. And let me read to you verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. It says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And here's the part that I want to focus on. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible is not a product of man. Men were merely the vehicles that God used to record his perfect word to man. And therefore, as we look at Scripture, we have individuals that pen Scripture pen scripture in their own personal, in their own personal styles, using even their own personal life experiences and backgrounds, but perfectly communicating one message, God's message. And the only way that that could happen is if God is the author. Divine revelation, divine continuation, show the Bible to be the Word of God. And then lastly, this morning, is divine preservation. Divine preservation. Divine preservation is God preserving His Word to man. There have been many attempts in history to rid the world of the Bible. One of the first ones concerning the New Testament was by the Roman Emperor Diocletian in the 4th century A.D. In fact, he thought that he was God, okay? And he said that if anyone had a copy of the Scriptures and did not surrender it to be burned, if it were discovered, they would be killed. Furthermore, if any other should know about one who had a copy of the Scriptures and did not report it, he also would be killed. Now, during this time, there were many, many copies of the Bible, handwritten copies, I might add, that were burned. And after this edict had been enforced for 2 years, Diocletian was confident, and he boasted, "I have completely exterminated the Christian writings from the face of the earth." Well, history tells us that the next ruler was Constantine. And Constantine loved Christianity, and he requested that copies of the Scriptures should belong to all of the churches. The problem, of course, was Diocletian had completely eradicated the New Testament, the Word of God, from the face of the planet. So Constantine, in a plea, offered a substantial reward for anyone who could come up with a copy of any portion of the Scriptures. And within 25 hours of his edict, 50 full copies of the Bible were brought to him. Divine preservation shows the Bible to be the very Word of God. And here is why. This is important. God said He would preserve it. He said He would preserve it. Here are a couple passages of Scripture. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times, you shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever." From David's generation forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, you're in 2 Peter. You don't have to turn to 1 Peter if you don't want. But it says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." God said that He would preserve His word, His message to man physically, and He did. But God said that He would also preserve it verbally. In Matthew 5:18, Jesus says, "For assuredly," or "truly, truly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law until all is fulfilled." Now, the jot and the tittle are two of the smallest marks in the Hebrew alphabet or language, okay? And while there is no doubt that any time words are translated from one language to another, or even one generation to another, there will be differences in the language. The point that Jesus is making as he says that is that even the very smallest teachings from God's Word will not change. they will not change. God said that he would preserve his word, and God has preserved it. The quality of the Bible manuscripts that we have is phenomenal. If we include every single copy, partial copy, and fragment of ancient Bible manuscripts, we would have over 25,000 documents that we could look to. The next closest ancient document of that same era is actually, it's a fictional work called Homer's Odyssey, and using the same guidelines of copies, partial copies, and fragments, that has 640 compared to 25,000. There is not a better documented ancient written work than the Bible. The quality of Bible manuscripts is phenomenal, and the quality of Bible manuscripts is phenomenal. As the Dead Sea Scrolls were found and examined, many wondered how the Bible writings from 300 years before Christ were going to compare to the copies of the Old Testament that we have in our Bibles right now. Well, as suspected, there were some word differences simply because language does change. But not a single teaching was affected. Not even remotely were these teachings affected. And that has been the case with every one of the 25,000 ancient Bible documents that have been found. The quality of Bible manuscripts is phenomenal. Now, our initial response to what we've gone through here might be one of awe. Wow, God can do that. That is incredible. But the truth is, and I want you to think of this in perspective for a minute. If God can speak the universe into existence, surely he could preserve his message to man. I mean, you compare the two, right? What would be more difficult, speaking the universe into existence or preserving his message to man? All right? The quality of Bible manuscripts is phenomenal. Preserving his message to mankind, that is not a problem for God. He said that he would do it. God said that he would do it. And he did it. Yet another area that shows the Bible to be the very Word of God. The Bible has been divinely revealed, divinely constructed, divinely preserved. And there is not another book on the planet that can prove itself in these areas. It is the Word of God. You see, the Bible is unique. And that is why even many world religions and cults incorporate the Bible into their teachings and in conjunction with their own written works. But their own written works won't even stand the scrutiny that the Bible does. I gave you this quote last week, but Lewis Sperry Chafer, great theologian, he said, "The Bible is not such a book that man would write if he could, nor could write if he would." And here is why. It is a divine book. It teaches things that only God could know and understand. How in the world could man write something that he does not understand anything about and do it with perfect accuracy? The Bible even speaks of things that man still does not understand, because they are divine things. The Trinity. I don't understand how God can be three persons and one God. I don't know, but I do know that from cover to cover, that is exactly how God describes himself. I don't understand salvation as a gift. Why? Why would God give me salvation from sin as a free gift. Why would he send his own son to die for? I don't understand that. But he does. I don't understand the person of Christ. How can Jesus be fully God and fully human? I don't know. I only know that that's how God describes himself. Also, the Bible exposes man. That goes back to Schaeffer's quote. The Bible is not such a book that man would write if he could. It doesn't paint a very pretty picture of you and I. The Bible doesn't do that. From cover to cover, the Bible exposes man's wickedness, and from cover to cover, God is the hero. The Bible is unique because it's divine. The Bible is God's word, and it is the most efficient way, the most efficient way for God to reveal himself to every generation. Every generation. It's the most efficient way for man to know God in this world. The Bible is God's love letter to man. And Lord willing, next week we're going to see just how much God loves man. But my intent this morning is to pull down, demolish yet another stronghold that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Because it is important that we know, that you and I know, that God spoke. He spoke. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you have left in our possession a means of knowing you, a means of having a relationship with you, a means of having eternity with you, a means really of not only learning about you, but learning about ourselves, a means of not only knowing you, but growing more and more in love with you, the better we get to know you. Lord, thank you for this efficient way that you have made yourself known to man. Thank you that we can look into this word and know your nature, know your standards, know your promises, and know that you are faithful, that you will fulfill those promises. Lord, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for the really overwhelming abundance of evidence that you give us concerning who you are through this word. I pray, Lord, that as we take what we've learned here this morning, I pray that if perhaps this is the first time there are some here that have heard this, Lord, that this is exciting news. Lord, you do want us to have faith in you. But Lord, the faith that we have in you is very, very clearly based in fact. Not in emotion, not in experience, not in opinion, not in what I want and what someone else is what someone else wants, but Lord, that our faith in you, our trust in you, is based in rock solid fact. And for that, we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.